Hi, this is Bob Papa, voice of the New York Football Giants, and this is the Big Blue UK and Ireland podcast.
And there we go. Craig, what was said? There was a press conference today. What was said in that presser?
So just want to highlight something that Tony's just put. Guys, just seeing your Andy's Man Club fundraiser info as a facilitator there. I just want to say thank you on behalf of Andy's Man Club. Fantastic. Obviously, for anybody who missed the opening, you can scan the QR code in the bottom right-hand corner to donate and enter yourself into the raffle for draft night, where you can win one of our prizes.
Tony.
Yeah, Tony's a massive fan of a follower of ours, and we appreciate it. And he was the one who sort of pushed us onto the Andy's Man Club stuff in the first place. So, right, Joe Shane presser time. There was a presser today, literally at 5 p.m. with us obviously going live at 8:30. So it was a scramble to watch and digest, and let's try and dissect it a little bit. So he took to the podium to chat about next week's draft, and there was a lot said, so we'll try and keep this to highlights, and then there'll be some questions at the end. And obviously, if anybody else has any questions about anything we've spoken about or what we're about to speak about with the presser, make sure you put them in the comments. We'll read them out at the end of this segment. So Joe Shane kind of opened saying that there were numerous plans for the draft still, and that their draft board should be set tomorrow before they walk away from it for the weekend, basically. He expressed his desire to kind of stay away over the weekend. And kind of the quote that I really liked from him was, paralysis by analysis. And that's one thing that they don't want to do in any way, shape or form. He was also asked about the value of trading up, and mentioned that a deal with the Commanders is probably unlikely due to the interdivision rivalry there. So really, we can look at pick three being the first opportunity that we will have to try and trade up. When asked about how deep the receiver position is in the draft, he agreed, noting that several members would likely go in the first round, and that new kickoff rules kind of mean that receivers may be asked to do more in that department rather than just being a pure receiver. And that's where a lot of teams might actually look at someone who, yes, they're a wide receiver, but yes, they can actually contribute in these new kickoff rules. Here was a question earlier in the chat about this one regarding Slayton. So let's talk about that. He is holding out of voluntary workouts, wanting an improved contract. Shane said to the media that it doesn't affect anything regarding drafting a receiver, that Slayton wants a new contract or that he's holding out. And he also added that Slayton's agent was a friend of his. Now, Dan Duggan posted after the presser that he doesn't think Shane has any intention of extending Slayton. So maybe that's one to watch over the coming weeks. He was also asked about Waller, the rumbling on of that I think we're all getting quite bored of. Joe Shane's only comment on that was, we haven't given him a timeline on his decision to retire. So that one will likely rumble on and rumble on. And then just some sort of quick fire notes here. He's been surprised about how many calls he's had from teams below the Giants. The Giants didn't lose many players off their draft board on Monday when they had their Monday night medical meeting looking at the players with health concerns. He said he would be comfortable having three quarterbacks on the roster if that's what it came down to. He said that Rich Eisen's report about buyer's remorse was not true. And of course, he was going to say that. And finally, the Giants had 170 players on their board before the declarations were made that ended up going back to college that then forced them to rethink. So, to avoid us repeating the same answers to the same questions we keep putting on week after week, we're focused on some of the important bits. So, Shane, your thoughts first on Slayton's holdout?
I'm a bit surprised by it. I mean, he's not like a stud wide receiver. He's not like been putting up ridiculous numbers. I mean, I do like Slayton. I think for someone who was drafted in the fifth round, I've said before on here that I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism at times from fans. But, you know, he's shown up over the last few years. In fact, he's shown up pretty much every year for us. You know, yeah, he's had his drops, but, you know, for a fifth round draft pick, I've got a lot of time for him. I'm surprised he's deciding to hold out, but I don't take anything too. It's way too early in the season to be worried about anything at the minute. So, you know, I think I've seen Joel Shane's comments, and he said he's close with his agent, and I don't think they're going to be entering contract negotiations anytime soon. So, you know, I'll start to get worried if he decides to hold out come the season. But all being well, come the season, we might have a wide receiver one on our team because we've drafted one at number six. So he's got to ask the question, is it really worth it for himself?
Kev, your thoughts on Slayton?
Yeah, just quickly, Holt is ready. He has been our top receiver for the last 4 or 5 years. But I believe he is due $6.2 million this year. He signed a two-year contract last year. But it's one of those things where, like, Sheehan kind of wants him to go prove it. Right, you want a new deal. You're in your final year. Go prove it and go out and earn it. And I think Slayton kind of wants a deal done before they bring in a number one wide receiver that might knock him off his sort of like standing. So it's a really, really tricky one. I don't think he's the type of guy to hold out for, definitely not for the season. I don't think he'll hold out for much of camp. This is all voluntary at the moment. And you have to miss 85% before you actually lose any money. I can't remember how much exactly, but I think when it comes to proper OTAs, I think he'll be back. Once the draft's over and we actually start proper OTAs, I think he'll be back.
Dan?
I don't think it's anything too concerning at the moment, in all honesty. I think regardless of whether he signs a new contract or not, he'll be back with the team. But I think, he's been our top receiver for the last 5 years. But maybe he does have to prove it a little bit. You know, he needs to prove that he can do it with another contract with the Giants. So I'm not too concerned about it at the moment. But I'm also not surprised that he's not had a new deal yet. But there we go.
So, Kev, I'll start with you on this next one. Are you a little surprised that there are a number of teams that want to trade up with the Giants, considering the Giants have not been, you know, too coy about the fact that they are very heavily involved in the quarterback situation?
Yeah, I was very surprised to hear that, actually. I thought, again, it might be teams wanting to see if J.J. McCarthy falls there to six, which I think is a little bit unlikely. You're going to have teams like Saints, Broncos, Vikings, all sort of like they, but they're probably making calls to 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, like those, all those teams probably make calls to all them. What would interest me now is if someone like the Bears or the Jets or one of those teams around 9, 10, if they were interested in coming up, because I think that's a position that I'd be very interested to move back to. Am I surprised the call's been made? No. Am I surprised Joe Sheehan was willing to admit that there's been more than he expected? Yeah, definitely.
Dan, what are your thoughts on this? And also, I'll come back to Kev and ask him this question at the end, but another one for you and Shane to go. How far would you be happy to go back? How far down the board do you think we could go back, considering you're going to miss out on some generational talent there, and we have needs.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to move out of the top 10. You know, we have desperate, glaring holes at certain positions. So I wouldn't want to move out of the top 10. We've got an opportunity to take, like you said, a generational talent in a position that is of dire need. So I think it would be a very unwise decision to move out of the top 10. you know, unless we traded with a team that were giving us a player in return that is a top receiver or a better quarterback than Daniel Jones. I think it'd be stupid to move out of the top 10. And am I surprised? The original question, am I surprised that teams have been calling? Not at all. And am I surprised that that Shane said about it? I mean, I'm surprised he came out and said so many. A lot of teams have been in contact with him because I expect sort of Joe Shane to play his cards quite close to his chest because he seems like that type of person. So I'm surprised he announced that. But no, I think out of the top 10 would be. I mean, the I don't know what the drop off would be, but we definitely need that top talent to help us move forward.
So Shane, obviously, that we've said there's a number of teams. Dan said not outside of the top 10. Colty put, what about Vikings 11 and 23? Is the 23 enough to maybe get you to drop out the top 10?
I'd drop it at top 10, no problems. I'll be comfortable dropping down to about 15, 17, to be honest with you. I think the key thing
is... Can we take O-line, yeah?
Don't poke the bear. He was in a flow.
Just have a breather a second. but no, look, I mean, I've seen, look, you know, Vikings 11 and 23, would I do that? All day long, it's an absolute no-brainer. I've seen, I think, was it earlier today? Is it maybe Tom Pelissero tweeted out saying that Broncos are looking to give up 12, Pat Surtain, and a first rounder next year. Now, would we get that moving up to number six? I don't know. But like Joe Shane said himself, there's a premium that comes for moving up for a quarterback at the end of the day, and you've got to be prepared to pay that premium. Now, would I move to 12 and take Patrick Surtain? 100%. Like, you know, you'd be getting a cornerback that we've said we need. Not a veteran quarterback in the sense he's been in the league a few years, but still young enough to have Pat Surtain and Deontay Banks opposite each other. So, you know, I'd 100% consider that. And in all honesty, am I surprised Joe Shane's come out and said this? Not at all. It's smoke week at the end of the day. There could be absolutely no interest have come out. So what does Joe Shane do to try and generate interest? I can't believe how many teams have contacted. Say all of a sudden, teams that haven't even made that call are now thinking, are they open for business then? Are other teams looking at moving up? Shit, we better speak to Joe Shane and see what he wants. So, you know, I think it's a real smart move by him coming out and turning around and saying it, because either A, he's chatting shit, but now other teams are thinking it, or B, he's being honest, and all he's doing is ramping up even more interest in potentially and making it clear that we are open to moving down.
I genuinely thought you were going to say the Broncos offer 14 and Surtain, and then bit of BTJ comes out.
Oh, we love a bit of BTJ, don't we, Kev?
Mate, that's exactly what we're doing. If we move to 12 and we get past Surtain, I am having BTJ all day long.
Right, so I will
add on that. Don't get me wrong, I would take the 12th pick and Patrick Surtain because he's a quality quarterback.
And an area of need, really, isn't it? I've got one more question, but before that... UK Giants fan, any thoughts on a potential trade for Ayuk? Now, interestingly, our friend Justin Pugh, who has his net worth show, was being Giants GM for the evening on his show and said San Fran 31, Ayuk, and I think it was a fourth for our first and a fifth. I think it was something around those lines. Obviously, someone in the comments will probably be able to correct me. Kev's showing me a three. I'm not sure if that's and a three from us, three and a four swap, or three from them.
No, it was six overall, four, 31, Ayuk, and third.
So there you go. Thoughts on Kev? Thoughts on that potential trade? Would you do it down to 31? Pick up Ayuk.
Oh, it's a long way to go. Ayuk is a very good player now, but he needs a big contract, and you're going to be talking 30 mil per. It's just, it's interesting because it's fair. Like, it is, it's a fair trade, I guess. But yeah, he's just going to need paying. And like, it's so tricky because we've already got a lot of big players on the books. And don't forget, although we can get our Daniel Jones contract next year, we'll still be paying him $20 million not to be in our team next year if we cut him. Yes, we'll make the savings, but we'll still be paying him $20 million not to be on the team. So it's a very, very interesting one, and one that we could probably talk for a long time about the pros and cons. I'm one of those ones where, like, I'd be on the fence, and I would need one of you two to prod me over the fence either way.
Shane, would you prod him over the fence?
No. Come back, Kev. Come back. I wouldn't do it, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, the fact that he's got that contract extension, like Kev mentioned, but also, and it's something very minor, but why would I want to take a 26-year-old Brandon Ayuk, who maybe I've got in his prime for 3 to 4 years, instead of a 20-year-old Malik Nabers, who I could have for the next 8 to 10 years? So for me, it's an easy no.
Dan, you can answer that one, and then I've got the follow-up question for you.
No.
Cool, follow-up question. what are your thoughts on wide receivers asking to do more regarding kickoffs? Is it a risk? Asking a wide receiver drafted to take up kickoffs as well?
Yes. But at this, if we draft a receiver at 6, then it's a massive risk, because you're potentially putting your best player that we picked in this draft in harm's way for the sake of a kickoff return. I think if it was a receiver that we took lower in the draft, then maybe, because they would have something to prove. A receiver at 6 wouldn't have anything to prove necessarily, because they're expected to be great.
I do think that was kind of maybe the point I think Shane was maybe getting at, was a lower down wide receiver, like a second or third.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
That's my fault for not wording the question correctly.
That's all right. But I think, I wouldn't do it. Has that round out the news? I think that's everything for the news, isn't it?
Yeah, I've just got one quick question for Kevin Shane before we sort of move on to the mock. How much would that change your boards lower down from 6 to 10 if you then started to take into account kickoffs as a kind of hybrid receiver kickoff specialist?
I mean, it's an interesting one, but I actually think bringing in someone like Dante Miller, who we've talked about on the podcast recently, who we signed, you know, you're talking about a 5'9" bowling ball, 200-pound running back who runs a 4.2 something. Do you mean, so like, he's so shifty, and he showed at his Columbia tape that he is shifty. So, you know, do you look at these type of players to come in? Because you wouldn't risk a first round wide receiver or something like that. But are you looking at more of the ball carriers? You know, more like the running backs with vision to try to kind of like go for this position now. So I think this opens up a great chance for someone like Dante Miller on the team to make that sort of position his own.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it doesn't change the draft boards too much, because the guys that can offer something on kickoff returns or punt returns, all they're really silly doing is turning themselves from an undrafted free agent to maybe a 5th, 6th, 7th round draft pick